C6. Number 6A.
Then, when there is that identity, we experience being, capital B, as our being, small b. So, footsteps of truth, therefore, show us another kind of translation. If we start from the vertical and see the translation of God to idea, and when we look at the horizontal and see there we have the standpoint of scientific understanding, then it means that that translation from God must therefore translate itself to consciousness by retranslating the unscientific constituents of consciousness into the scientific constituents of consciousness. So the whole accent here is on consciousness, on the structure of consciousness, showing that the Christ brings about the translation in consciousness. Footsteps of Truth, as you know, has two big parts. And in that first part, we get acquainted that actually the synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, translate themselves to our consciousness and ask our consciousness to accept those synonymous terms as our basis of thinking or as our basis of awareness. Then, when we have made those synonymous terms the basis of our awareness, then the second part shows that with that new awareness, with that new divine awareness, we can tackle every human situation with that new awareness, with that new structured consciousness. It is a chapter that shows not only, therefore, the divine footsteps, but also the human footsteps, and shows that both the divine footsteps and the human footsteps have one common denominator, namely the scientific consciousness. So that the first part, so to say, has an impact, first of all, on restructuring our consciousness, the impact that says, now drop in your consciousness the false system of reference and take as your basis of consciousness for the synonymous term. So that is that impact. And the second part shows that when you have accepted that impact and have accepted that new basis as your consciousness, that then you tackle everything in your daily life, whatever that is in your daily life, with that new consciousness. It doesn't say here that this will change your experience. It says much more that you handle the same experiences, the same human experiences, with another consciousness, with a higher consciousness. Therefore, in that second part, we find a very human level, you know, where she says what the clergy should, the man should be, and what the mother should have, and what kind of attitude the mother should have, the teacher should have, the educator should have, the doctor should have. You see, it's taking up the everyday life and everyday experience, but shows that with a changed consciousness, you tackle those questions differently. You give to it a higher tone, so that actually, though living in this world, we are not living from this world, but from God, So that actually living in this world at that point is living a divine life. So that the divine and the human becomes one. They are no more two, though the divine is applied in the human, but still remaining divine. And so here we have really a reconciliation of that duality which always feels, well, there is a divine life and there is a human life, and this duality goes on for quite a while, and we are always thrown to and fro in that choosing, shall I choose the divine life or the human life? This is out of question here. Here there is only the footsteps of truth. One consciousness. But that one consciousness is the same consciousness if I'm thinking about heaven or if I'm thinking about hell. It's divine consciousness. And so in this second part we really get a sense that we always live in the divine consciousness, no matter if we have to deal with the everyday human problems and everyday human circumstances. It helps really to free oneself of that sense that says, well, at the moment I still have to go along in the human way, I have my responsibilities in the human world, but later on, when I'm retired, then I will study Christian Science, and then I will devote myself to Christian Science. Well, this is not the question here. It's on the contrary, it says, here, where you are, whatever you do, be it a mother, be it a teacher, be it a clergyman, be it a doctor, whatever you are, you can do it with a reformed consciousness, with a divine consciousness. So the divine here is at the same time human, and the human here is always also divine. At this point of the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter, you see, shows us that for truth, it doesn't matter if truth is truth in the spiritual realm or in the realm of belief. It's still truth. And this reminds us how usually John Dolittle would say that truth is omnipotent in the realm of truth and in the realm of belief, in both. We'll see when we take up the question of logic that we really find here the key how to get out of the dualistic logic into the infinite logic of Christian Science. Well, how shall we recapitulate this chapter? I think we perhaps could put it this way, and I dictate it. The Christ translation translates an unscientific consciousness. The Christ translation translates an unscientific consciousness back into a scientific consciousness. Let's just run through this vertical and see how those four chapters flow. And we just can see how in each chapter we have the translation from God to man, and second always the retranslation, the correction of a wrong translation. Therefore, in animal magnetism, we can see that there is that Christ translation, and if we accept that Christ translation really as the only real and true translation, that then everything that is God-unlike will be translated back from where it comes from from nothingness. I have been asked that before, and if that is the same thing, God unlike or unlike God, you know your language better than I do. I just thought that God unlike is a better term than unlike Godness, or something like that. Ungodlike. All right. But anyway, you see, the very first thing that animal magnetism really has to do is to take away from us the belief that there could go on another translation than the divine translation, that there is no other translation taking place. So we are left there with the sense that only God comes to us, to me, to all, to the universe, that nothing else comes to us but God coming to us as ideas of the seven synonymous terms. The moment we have accepted that as our basis, as our proposition from which we go out, as accepting the proposition, then we begin to realize in the sixth chapter that therefore this translation from God to man, bringing to man only ideas and manifesting themselves only as ideas, will take away from us a false system of reference, the false constituents of our being, of our existence, and replace them really by the true constituents of being, by the synonymous term. So in this way we begin to see here really the revelation takes place for each one. Here when we have handled animal magnetism, revelation can break into the consciousness of each one of us, and if we have taken away the false constituents of being, naturally the fundamental constituents of true being can flow in and abide with us. If they flow in and abide with us, then we see that the us, that we, are also constituted of this new constituents of being, and are no more an embodiment of the wrong constituents of being. Therefore, man as a mortal begins to disappear, and we begin to awake to the fact that we are of the nature of ideas. It's only awakening at this moment, it's not yet recognizing the full impact of man as idea. It's first the translation and the retranslation taking place here. So don't expect that you find in the second part of physiology a description of man as the idea of God. We only find there the awakening to that fact that man is the idea of God. And as we awaken to that fact that man is the idea of God, therefore we awake also to the fact that we should bear and carry in our consciousness only the constituents of being, which has been shown in the sixth chapter, and therefore give us a completely new consciousness, the consciousness that is constructed according to the synonymous terms. And such a consciousness is the new consciousness with which we enter into the daily life and tackle daily life. There we can be a businessman and yet a Christian scientist. There we can be a chemist and yet be a Christian scientist. There we can be an artist and yet a Christian scientist. There we can be a physicist and yet to be a Christian scientist. That doesn't exclude each other for a transitionary stage. Because what is quite impressive here in this chapter, in this eighth chapter, is that shows that this translation takes place step by step. It's not a instantaneous, complete translation that he shows here. It's all a step-by-step proposition. And so we feel here that really the tenderness of the teaching, which says, I don't have to feel that I should make the jump right into the absolute spiritual in 1 hour, in 1 day, but that Mrs. Eddy sees that this takes time. The time element is very pronounced here in this second part, the step-by-step element very pronounced, and therefore gives us a sense that we cannot take heaven, what you say, by storm or in storm, by storm, yeah, but that it is a question of inward development. All right, so if we feel that all depends on our consciousness, and that consciousness must be constructed and structured according to the seven synonymous terms, what does that mean, finally? It means, finally, that we have a consciousness of ideas. And the moment we see that we have a consciousness of ideas, we have only one thing, a universe of ideas. And at that very point you touch the ninth chapter. At that very point we come to the third vertical, Christianity, which we have epitomized as the realm of ideas. So the realm of ideas is not just a realm of ideas existing somewhere, but here it is shown that it is the outcome of the eighth chapter, and you see that very clearly right at the beginning of the ninth chapter. He starts in by saying, eternal truth is changing the universe. You come out from the footsteps of truth. The consciousness of truth has been established, scientific consciousness of truth, and now she shows that this is now going to change the whole concept of the universe. Creation. Creation here is not showing the act of creating, but is showing the outcome of the act of creating, the creation. Therefore, we could call it the universe, inclusive man, is shown here and presented actually as wholly ideational. That it is a creation and a universe of ideas. And here, finally, she brings it home to us that the realm of ideas is the only realm, that spiritual realm is the only realm, it's the ideational realm, and that we start out from a boundless basis and not from a limited basis. So the chapter on creation would have to show us what if the vertical says here the realm of idea is presented, and the horizontal in the word says that we have to accept that proposition. Therefore it would mean that we have to accept the proposition that the universe, inclusive man, is of the nature of ideas. So here Mrs. Eddy ushers us into the universe of ideas. And it is a short but a very strong chapter, because it shows that here we break all the limits. The limits fall off here. After the Christ translation in the second vertical, where you still had the act of breaking the limits by translating, Here now you have the finished product where all the limitations are broken, where you start right out from the unlimited sense of things. And a great tone of that limitlessness goes right through the chapter. And you read the chapter quickly through, and that is always a good method of getting the main idea of a chapter, that you read it through quickly, and in order to just hear the main tone of it, you feel that everything here is expanded, that it is limitless, that it is boundless. Nothing is any more finite. Everything is infinite. And it's not restricted in any way. That's naturally the realm, the nature of ideas. The ideas is really that which solves the problem of space and time. Ideas are free from space and time. They don't know anything about space and time. Therefore, they are infinite. And from this infinite basis, we reason. Therefore, we can see that here we do not get any progress, but infinite progression. Progress is always when we go out from something limited and progress to a higher sense. But progression is then when we go out from an unlimited basis and see that within this unlimited basis there is a constant possibility of restructuring the infinite possibilities, and therefore always have a new creation, a new model of being, without having a sense that something has to be first to be broken out of its limits. He speaks here right at the beginning that we should lay off the swaddling clothes. They are very tight. I can't remember it anymore, but when I see a baby, I just feel, poor thing, you are so tight in those swaddling clothes. And she ends up, really, the chapter with the white robes of spirit. That's good. So they have learned something from the chapter on creation. Well, how should I know that? Yes. So this chapter really is freeing us from every limitation. And one wonders if one takes this chapter seriously, when one studies it and takes it really as it is stated, how on earth one can still think of man as human and material and corporeal? It's no more possible. Right from this point on, it's no more possible. Right from here on, creation, we really should feel that we are now entering into this new mutation where we drop all the ancestral beliefs about man, and where we are no more really man, but where we see ourselves to be idea, the idea of God. Or even to see, no more to see ourselves as, but just to see that God knows but ideas. Then even the last vestige of humanhood drops away, of mortal manhood drops away, and we feel, oh, how wonderful, when everything is of the nature of idea, and therefore is no more cluttered with pictures, with images, human images. Nothing is left anymore but the image of the one mind. How shall we epitomize this? I think we could write here the following. By accepting the realm of ideas, see, that would be by accepting the realm of ideas, that's the vertical and horizontal. What happens? We are ushered into a creation of ideas.